Let's get to 2 Timothy 3 again. And verse 15. The former child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we said, you cannot, Matthew 1:21, it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We said, you can't teach salvation, which is the word soteria, without understanding the concept of sin, since the focus of salvation is sin, to save from sin, and hence us looking at the subject of sin very well. So we've seen the start of sin from an action perspective, which obviously is the word amatano, from that action perspective, which is no common sin to humanity, that you say, oh, this is what every human being has or has done. I'm able to look at that and think that the understanding of sin makes it individual. And so, again, we mentioned the flesh. Yesterday we started looking at the word flesh, which said the flesh is manifested in uncontrolled desire. Okay, can you remember that? Okay. So, now, the question now we want to quickly look at is this, having divorced and dismembered the thought pattern that we got a certain sin nature from Adam in the sense of a common sin. The question now should be, what was passed from Adam? What was passed from Adam? It can't be the will of man, because the will of man is God made. So that couldn't have been passed from Adam. What came from Adam is a tupos, which we have seen is an example of independence, which we have also looked at. And so the concept of sin should be seen primarily as an act that is now brought under a noun. So it's not a noun that we're now looking for the act. The act that is now explained as a noun. So the question should now be, what did we get from Adam? Romans chapter 5, and Paul was very deliberate in how he separated the issues. Romans chapter 5 verse 14, I'll start from 12. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, and sin is not imputed when there is no law. Then in verse 14, it says, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, amatano, which is the Greek word for that sin. There is an act, is an active word. And it says, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, the word omoima, which we also viewed, transgression is a step. Adam's misstep, Adam's overstepping. Then he says, who is the figure, that is the tupos of that which is to come, that is the tupos of things that happened after. By one man's disobedience, many were made a point to ordain. Many were ordained. So it's for them to receive. And then it's the same way, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Again, the word ordained. And don't forget that in talking righteousness, in verse 16, 17 actually, Paul says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace. Notice the word receive. That is, of the gift of righteousness. So, righteousness is not automatic because Christ died. Righteousness is a gift that is received. So, in the same breath, you look at Romans 5:17, then you gauge it with Romans 5:19. So, therefore, whatever Adam passed across to humanity, in that context, I hope I can find another word to say that, cannot be called a spiritual nature. Obviously an example, and that example is not, nobody knows Adam right now, so it's not an example. But he has said it that it entered into the world. So since then, sin was in the world. It's in the activities of men. And so our contact with sin is in men's activity. Men's activity is where we see sin. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. One of the dangers, again, you know, we mentioned Adam now, man. One might make a mistake of aligning Romans 5 with 1 Corinthians 15 without a distinction. Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 without a distinction. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul does a study. The first thing you must never use 1 Corinthians 15 for is that don't use it outside the resurrection of the body. That was the subject matter. That was what was in discussion. Let's give a background. We'll see verse 44. Verse 44 says, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, there's a natural body, and there's a spiritual body. Okay? So let's track what Paul starts with, the word spiritual and the word natural, because we need to see both. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Don't forget the word is cosmos. Now, this is the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So it makes a distinction. The spirit pneuma of the cosmos, or pneuma theos, pneuma, spirit of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. Then he makes that distinction in verse 14. But the natural man. Now, in the Greek, the word man is silent, so it's inferred. The natural receives not, is the word P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S, suchikos, what comes from man. You know, suche is man's life, suche, where you have soul. You can call it the soulish. Receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Human life, natural life. You see James using the same thing in James 3:15 and Jude 19. But notice this. He says, it doesn't. So, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And then he calls the man with the spirit of the world, or the man who is of the world, as a natural man. So, at this instance, he's discussing man's spiritual identity. Yet in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. as unto spiritual. Now, what does he mean by that? Because he had just told you in verse 12, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, I couldn't speak unto you, even though you are, as unto spiritual, that is, born of the Spirit, or a recipient of the Spirit, but as unto carnal. Now, he uses the word sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S, which is without. Now, don't forget that he's flowing with the pattern from verse 2, chapter 2. That means sarkinos will be without the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Oh, good. Without the Spirit of God. So he said, I know you have the Spirit of God, which is the word spiritual. Well, I'm going to communicate with you as though you don't have the Spirit of God. Or I have communicated with you as though you don't have the Spirit of God. He said, even as unto babes in Christ, that's why he uses the figure of speech called the oxymoron, where you say an animal man, you know, use opposites, because you can't have a carnal believer say, we have not received the Spirit that is of this world. So you can't now be called carnal when you already know you are spiritual. Is that clear? But by calling them carnal as a figure of speech, it's just like James did, to draw their attention to their conduct. So we can technically say that he's referring to their conduct, because we're about to see that. So in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with milk, meat. For either so you are not able to bear, neither are you not yet able. Then it says, for you are yet carnal. Again, he uses the word sarkikos. Sarkikos now refers to desires or a design. Then he says, that is the absence of the Spirit. Then he says, for where is among you envy? Among you refers to conduct. He didn't say in you. If you are said in you, then the man is not born again. Is that clear? Among you, in your conduct, he says you have envy, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And walk as a man. Now, if you had the liberty of translation, what would you say? Are you not carnal and walk as a man without the Spirit of God? That's why I think the Amplified says mere men. Because the essence is to show the ordinariness. That is, there's an absence in your conduct. Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? So, your conduct has a missing link. Remember we said, sin means something is missing. Yesterday we said, what is missing? The Spirit of God. Even in good conduct. The Spirit of God. So, he says here, are you not carnal and walk? Walk now refers to a pattern of living, not a nature. You have settled the nature in chapter 2, verse 12. You have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So, at that point, we call every born-again man is spiritual, right? Born of the Spirit. Is that clear? He's born of the Spirit. He has received the Spirit of God. But then, does that automatically lead to a walk in the Spirit? Yes and no. Yes, in the sense that he has the capacity to. No, in the sense that he also has the capacity not to. Who's following what I'm saying here? So, you will find sin not in his nature. His nature is the Spirit of God, but you will find sin in his conduct when he does not walk in the Spirit. So the walk there, you walk as mere men, means you walk without the Spirit. And he mentions sin, envy, strife, divisions. So, that shows that for a born-again man, to walk in envying, it has to be introduced to him. It can never come from his nature. Because his nature is the Spirit of God. That's why he identifies what we have received with who we are. We have received the Spirit of God, then he calls us spiritual. Of the Spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So, therefore, it's obvious that whoever is writing to has a spirit nature in God. But what comes in chapter 15? Want to look at this. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Obviously, the argument in 1 Corinthians 15 is not referring to the new birth. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. A lot of boys have always asked me questions along this scripture, and I think it's because they lose what he was discussing. In fact, somebody still asked me yesterday, that Paul says, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. Okay? But by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. Don't forget the word if can be since, or so that. It's not a conditional term. Since you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So immediately, somebody who believes in the eternal security of salvation, without much security, as he sees that, he begins to shake. Sir, is it possible then? Cool down. I don't know. Cool down. As though your fears will change the world. For I delivered unto you. Look at the excellent thing he said. Take a note of the word believe in me. Unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. How he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, in Bible study, there's something called emphasis. He mentioned his death, mentioned his burial, mentioned his resurrection, and focused on which one of the three? Exactly. So that means the subject matter is Jesus' physical resurrection. Are you there? Are you following? So let's look at how he explains it. And that he was, okay, verse 5. He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of the above 500 brethren. Then he mentions seen of James. And last of all, he was seen also of me. And then, of course, Paul, as he always does, ensures that he entrenches his credentials very well. Verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Give me your ears. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, you already believe that Christ rose from the dead. How says some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, let me explain this very well. There are two terminologies. I had to explain this to someone, and I hope any of my recent materials will try and put this across, maybe not recent ones. That when you say rapture, something, there's no word like that in the Bible. And a fellow, you know, told me that. I said, yeah, you're right. Because rapture was taken from a Latin word. And obviously, because there was a Latin Vulgate translation that had the word rapture, and I said that, no, that was not last week. It was 2 weeks ago, not recently. I said, obviously, when you say rapture, the reason why they said that was because Paul did explain that there was resurrection. When he mentioned resurrection, he referred to physical bodies that were dead. But he also said that those who are alive will be caught up. And that's what the Latin now call rapture. So there were two kinds of things that Paul said. Those who were dead will be raised. Those who are alive will be caught up. Those ones cannot be raised. Are you following that? So that's usually what is called the rapture. And again, it's not a disappearing act. Okay? Where some will now remain on earth. Somebody is a believer is flying a jet. Then everybody just crashes and they won't die. You know? That's the mystery of that. So, obviously, that was the issue. Some were not preaching that there's nothing like that. And so he says that, how would you preach the gospel and believe that Christ rose from the dead, and then you don't, you are not allowing somebody to confuse you that there is no resurrection from the dead? Are you following this? Are you following this? Okay, that's what he said, that except you have believed in vain. That was what he was talking about. In vain, we'll see what it means. Now he says, if there have been resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? That is, if there will be no rapture, as we call it today, then is Christ not risen? If Christ be not risen, so you understand the vain now, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also what? That means something that will fade away. That means we have faith in non-eternal things. So the subject matter here is the subject matter of the physical resurrection of the bodies of the saints. Who's following me? Let me see your hand. Let's proceed further. Yea, and then if that is then, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be, the dead rise not. That is, if we cannot be raised from the dead, that means Christ didn't rise from the dead. If the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Are you following the discussion now? And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Can you see his intelligent way of saying it? Who's following it? Are you getting this? Okay? So he says, then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope, we have all men what? Miserable. Most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. First fruit. First fruit. That means the early one. It shows a pattern. That is, Christ's death is a pattern. Sorry. Christ's resurrection. Sorry for that. It's a pattern. Then he says, for since by man, follow this now, this is it. Death came by man. Also, the resurrection of the dead. Is this physical or spiritual? Thank you. For if Adam all die, all what? Spiritual or physical? Okay. Can you say in Adam's body? You know, we said the only thing we inherited from Adam is what? That all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Are you getting this? Who are the all? All who have believed. Is it clear? He's not discussing the universe. He had already told you, except you believe in vain. So he's talking to believers. So the all cannot be every man. That means everybody who is born again, he says in Adam, they died. No. He's discussing their physical bodies. Who is following this? A pattern. That the pattern of Adam's body being extinguished by death is followed by the believer's physical body. However, in Christ, the same people shall be what? Shall be what? Because there can't be resurrection without death. Hope that is clear. Okay, follow this. For every man in his own order. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ. That's not the whole world though. Is it making sense? Are you following this? At his coming. Then the end. Then he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he had put all things under his feet, but then he said all things are put under him. It's manifest that is accepted, who did put all things under him. So let's quickly go to verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. That's doctrinal. It's referring to those people in verse 12. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Believers. So the evil communication corrupts good manners there is doctrinal. Verse 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Are you seeing that Paul is talking about the physical body now? He says, fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That in normal, he's not using parables, illustrations. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear it again. It may chance of wheat, or some chance of that grain. But God gives his body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, and the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. One star, don't call yourself star or moon, no, just give me an illustration. Shall I have the glory of the moon? For one star differs from another. So is, are you getting 42? Let's take 42 together. So is the resurrection of the dead. Now, is he talking about spiritual or physical? It is sown in what? What does that mean? It is sown, that is, it dies in corruption. Is this the body of believers? Eh? Is this the body of believers? He said, in Adam all die, all believers. Amen? It is sown, in 43, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Is that clear? Now at this point, he's not talking about what we call rapture. He's talking about the bodies of saints that are passed on. Those who slept. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, what did we call natural? The body of a man. The body of man's living. That's what we call suchikos. Can you remember? And now so raise what? A body by the spirit. Where is the spirit? Within the believer. Who's following this? Are you following this? A body by the same thing Paul said in Romans 8:11. So he says, there is a natural body. You know that one. There is a body by the Spirit. So, it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Again, what is he discussing? Salvation or physical resurrection? A living soul. That's verse 45. Then he says, the last Adam, a quickening spirit. Now, the word living soul there is a living man. That's all. A suche zaho. P-S-U-P-S-U-C-H-E. A man alive. So, it's telling you that God did not introduce death. Is that clear? Is that very clear? And that's all. But, you know, the way he qualifies it also seems to say something. That physical body also did not have the capacity of transmitting life. That's interesting. Because he calls it suche zaho. He now says, the last Adam, I don't want to upset any apple cart soon, but let me just try. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Now, pay attention. The last Adam is what? A quickening spirit. The word here is the word zoo, that is Z-O-O, P-U-E-O, or P-I-E-O. Yeah, depends on the Greek lexicon you use. It is used strictly for raising the dead. So, this, pay attention here. You see it in John 5:21. At this point, is the believer spiritual? Born of the Spirit. Is his body spiritual? So what are we discussing? The believer or his body? Very good. So don't shift at all. At no point should you shift your mind. Is that clear? John 5:21. The Father raises up the dead and quickens. So the Son will quicken. John 6:63. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Why? In verse 62, you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before. That's resurrection. Don't say, I will speak those words and they're alive. They're alive to your finances. Take it easy. Romans 4:17. God who quickeneth the dead. Zopio, the dead. Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall raise from the dead your physical body. Has that happened? Huh? That's not healing, no. Healing is not raising a body from the dead. Is that clear? This is being raised from the dead, the physical body. Again, which he called later the resurrection of the body. Then you have 1 Corinthians 15:22. In Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made where? Alive. Very vitally, 2 Corinthians 3:6. Which obviously is spiritual. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. Galatians 3:21. Could have given life. Verily righteousness should have been by the law. Similar to 2 Corinthians 3:6. They are saying the same thing. But 1 Peter 3:18. Put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. So go to 1 Corinthians 15. So, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. When will this be effective? At the new birth or at the resurrection? Thank you. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first that was spiritual, but that which is natural. Afterwards, that which is spiritual. That is, what we have now is the natural one. After that, we'll get what? You know, we pray to go down to say, Romans 11, he the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead. He will quicken your mortal body. He will quicken your mortal body. You know, it's not, it's obviously referring to the resurrection of the body. No doubt. Now look at 47. The first man is of the earth. Earthy. What are we still discussing? Huh? The first man is of the earth. That is the word, choikos in the Greek. C-H-O-I-K-O-S. Made from the dust. He's going to repeat it shortly. Made from the dust. Made from the dust. Then he says, the second man is the Lord from heaven. Referring to what again? Huh? Referring to what? Referring to what? They are still doubting. 48. As is the earth, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. That's verse 48. What is this he's talking about? As also is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. He's referring to the physical body and the spiritual body. As we are, look at 49. As we are born, the image of the earthy. So, did we get this from Adam? Huh? The word image is the word eikon. E-I-K-O-N is like a format, a likeness. The word image. To bear is to wear. To wear. Matthew 11:8 is the word phoreo. P-H-O-R-E-O. Matthew 11:8. A man clothed in soft raiment. Matthew 11:8. John 19:5. Wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. John 19:5. To wear. Romans 13:4. James 2:3. To wear something. To put on something. So it says, we are put on the image of the earthy. So, does the body of the believer differ in nature from that of the unbeliever? Huh? But does it differ in status? Yes. So as I got born again, the glory of God began to reflect in your body. The glory of the sun and the glory of the star. There's no glory. Are you there? Aha. The glory of that body is in the resurrection. It has to die first. That which you are desiring is upon death. Shundai. Are you there? So shall, look at verse 49. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Is that clear? How did he tell you that image of the heavenly will be born? Huh? By what? By the resurrection. Good. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood. That what is this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. What is he talking about? This physical body. Remember, he just told us, we read it 1 Corinthians 15. He says, verse 24, then it shall have delivered up the kingdom, okay, to God, that is, in Jesus' triumph over death, this flesh and blood will not be found again. It cannot inherit it. It has no part in the kingdom of God. So, this flesh and blood has no part in the kingdom of God. God said, in Adam, all die. Are you following this? Good. So he says, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Okay? I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. but we shall all be changed. That means there will be some whose bodies will not sleep. He calls it a mystery. Pay attention. The word changed is the word alasso. A-L-L-A-S-S-O. It means to exchange. And when you hear we shall not all sleep, it's referring to death. Let's check references to that. Matthew 27 verse 50 is the word koimaho, K-O-I-M-A-O. More often than not, is used for death. Matthew 27, 52. The bodies of the saints that slept arose. Matthew 28, 13. While we slept, physical sleeping. Luke 22, 45. Normal sleep. The way you sleep. Eutychus. Eutychus have two kinds of sleep. Sleeping for sorrow. John 11, 11. I awake him out of sleep. John 11, 12. If he sleep, he shall do well. Two things. Jesus talked about death. They talked about physical sleeping. Acts 12. Verse 6, Peter was sleeping, physical sleeping. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. I want to draw an example shortly. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. If our husband be dead, which is a better translation. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. Some sleep. Some are sickly. Many sleep. That is death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. Some are falling asleep. 1 Corinthians 15, 18. Falling asleep in Christ. 15, 18. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. First fruit of them that slept. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 51. You shall not all sleep. Why use the term sleep? The Greek word koimao. It shows a face. That is, he depicts that what has happened to the physical body of the man born again, it doesn't go into extinction. He only says that about the born again man. In Christ, he will be made alive. When a man is not born again and he dies, he has died. His physical body has died. He is dead and deading dead. But the born again man, that his physical body is said to be asleep in Christ. His physical body, not him. Because the man is alive. So the physical body is used for the word koimao. So we shall be changed. The word change there means exchanged. That is, the composition of something is altered. It's not that you are giving something else. Remember, Paul's analogy is you sow a seed and that seed now brings something out. So, he's looking at death as the glorifying of the body of the saints. You see the word alasso used in Romans 1:23. In Galatians 4:20. Is the same. It's not another body. It is the same body, but however, raised from the dead. With a greater glory. Never to die again. Galatians 4:20. I changed my voice, the same voice, Galasso, to change my voice. My voice, but a change. Hebrews 1:12. The vessel shall be full, and it shall be changed, and thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So go back to that 1 Corinthians 15. So the will that is being changed, is he referring to the man who has the Spirit of God, is called spiritual? It is the physical body that is changed. So, what did we get from Adam? A spiritual nature or a natural body? And does that natural body have a say on our spiritual nature? No. It calls us spiritual, it calls the body natural. Is the physical body a sin nature? No. But is it a product of sin? A product of sin in the sense that it's a product because it is a procreation. The same way when you were born, except it's abnormal, your eye was not at the back of your head. That didn't come, as it were, from God directly. It came from procreation. So, the same way, it says we are born the image of the earth. So, don't say, we don't have anything from Adam. The body on you is Adamic. Hallelujah. A man came up years ago and wrote a book with fantasies. And said that they discovered that when you are born again and you have the Holy Ghost, that you go and check your genotype, your blood type, is now divine. What amazed me was that he wrote it in a book. I read the book and I started laughing. And somebody told me that, I said, just an insight. I said, what insight? He should tell us his genotype. He should start. And we'll go to a hospital that is a normal hospital. Not the hospital where they were speaking in tongues and writing rubbish. Say, when you are born again, there's an alteration. And because people have failed to realize that the physical body will never become immortal till it is what? Sown. What's that sowing? Say it loud. You say, I can sow it by my confession. And then what? Fooling yourself all over. A dear guy told me, I just got to cover this. Is that light permeating my body? That was in UI in 1996. Is that permeating my body? She just discovered. I said, See, eczema. It is really permeating. Permeating your body. Too bad. That's just fantasy. Romans 8. Learning something? So, Paul's discussion, just like in 1 Corinthians, was to first of all establish the spirit within. The spirit within. Romans chapter 8. If any man has not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. In verse 9. Christ being you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Quicken. Where would that happen? Your mortal body is by his spirit that dwells in you. So you cannot preach the gospel without that hope of resurrection. It must be laced heavily. So he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live under the flesh. If you live under the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit, that's talking about salvation. But if I live under the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of body again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness our spirit that we are the children of God. Now follow this now. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer, now the word "in" is italicized, we may also be glorified together. Now, follow through what he was talking about. For, verse 18, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Are you there? What is that glory again? For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Is it the born again man or his body? To the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails. Follow this. In pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So our bodies is what will be glorified. And when will that happen? Upon death. So that means that Adam had no single authority to reproduce spirits. What he was doing, now we're going to look at this very technically. What he was doing was, or what he had influence over, as it were, was the physical body. So, is the physical body a spiritual nature? Is Adam's will your will? No. Is Adam's desire your desire? No. But is Adam's body your body? In fact, yours is worse than what he had. You get it? I remember, baby. And that's why this teaching on long life was twisted. The Psalm 91. The man David, or whoever it was, because it's a contest in that, was obviously prophesying about eternal life. And then men say, will long life will satisfy you? And then they are haggling around 80 years. In a Bible where we are 900 and something. You get it? Obviously, the word there has to do with eternal life, a life that doesn't end, with long life, and I will show him my salvation. So Psalm 91 has nothing to do with long life. I'll have long life and all that. I hear a lot of people, they say, which is 70? Don't say, no, it's not 70, it's 120. Everybody who claimed that promise, they didn't live up to 90. I don't want to mention names. I respect them. Some people are even 70. Because now it's not that God's word failed. It wasn't God's word at all. It is your assumption that failed. You were presumptuous. Extremely presumptuous. Presumptuous. And you see, some things can work. Just like a man will say, the law of the spirit of life in Christ has been received for the law of sin and death. And then, by quoting that scripture, he had people put virus in his body and it disappeared. And others said, wow, wow. So a young guy, I had read this one, a young guy was not saying, the way I am, I can take this and nothing will happen. I said, come. You read the story of the man? I said, where is the man now? He said, he died. How did he die? By the Holy Ghost? He said, no. He said, what age did he die? I said, how did he die? He now found out. He died by sickness. I said, was that law in his body? He said it was in his spirit. What about his body? His body was mortal. Go home. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's just, and you see, when you know charismatics, we can, and that's what the people think of us as we are not serious. We will see glaring examples that I will still be telling a lie. Wow. I told you that when it comes to theology, there are three laws. Number one, is it written in scripture? Number two, how is it explained? How is it explained? Which is the key one. And finally, is it practical? You know, it's good. Is it practical? Say, is it practical? It's not practical. That's why you see that the body is natural. Some folks have a way they can control it. That's why you have, for example, it's not spiritual. The medical doctors can do some things, and they have things like life support. And there's no angel around. They just alter some things, do something, and brilliant. In fact, there's one I learned of. In case I'm wrong, it's too bad, but I learned it. That there's the technology that actually the person who told me is studying it already. That they can consult and practically perform like a procedure without being there. And you know, so much discoveries have gone around the physical body. For you to know that it's a natural thing. Is natural. Just like, you know, thunder, and all this rain, they've been able to go around it. Such that, you know, initially when you have thunder strike, you have air crashes and all that. They now have anti-thunder. You know, it shows that these are natural things. Who's following what I'm saying here? They're natural things. And, you know, quite a number of things they are just in nature. So an unbeliever can understand what we call health, and he will hate the gospel. He will just know basic rules of the physical body. And a believer will be confessing and he will fall sick. And you defy natural things. When Jesus rose someone from the dead, he said, give him food. Give her food. Because she will go back. food. Well, you know why Eutychus goes up? He ate. That's the first thing. Because we are not sure there will be a double resurrection. Eat quickly. I told you that when it comes to health, faith, food, and common sense. Don't ever forget, faith. The healing power of God, where the natural cannot survive, food and common sense. Common sense. They say it's no longer common. I agree. Hallelujah. I plan to teach something in this year called common sense. It just one service or two. Common sense. Because, no, it's in the Bible. Come on, I will never bring anything here apart from God's word. I will just say common sense from scripture. So sometimes it's how foolish you are. You know, I've counseled couples before. They say, they're waiting on the Lord for a child. And the woman didn't know much about her cycle. I said, do you know that? It could be so funny that some barrenness in scripture could be ignorance. I said, do this and do that. And they had a child. I didn't pray. Some people are just not intelligent. That's it. It's true. Some people are failing in school because they are born again. That's what they're feeling. Say, I said, Jesus said, God's wisdom is mine. His wisdom is mine. They will be quoting the wrong scriptures. I have the mind of Christ. Was Christ a law student? Was he a medical student? You can say that in Bible study. I remember these sisters, some of you know them, were in uni like them. I think those are three. And I went to see them before the exam. So I liked it to them. I said, exam. So I should come and share scripture. They said, you know, I have the mind of Christ. I have the intelligent faculty of Christ. I looked at them. I said, when the Bible says that he brought the wisdom of this world to foolishness, that's not your academic soul. That's salvation. Don't quote that for an exam. It must be wisdom as wisdom in the exam hall. I said, I wrote a test, an exam, philosophy, my first year in school. And I argued that water is God. And I got an A. Water is God. Me, I wrote it down. Me. But if you say, I don't believe that. Anything that's not found in Christ is not God. It's the revelation of the Father. Okay. The Father is revealed in God. Go. They say, what is that? You're a medical student. You say, what is wrong with that patient? You say, how God anointed you, the brother. Who was about doing good? You say, okay. They don't give you reference to theological seminar. They do referral for you, theological seminar. You can attach her to the sick bay of the seminary. Hallelujah. So your body is natural, okay? And that body is not what is called the flesh. Hope that is clear now. Mm-hmm. Boy, start putting your right hand. Galatians 5:19. Hope you are learning something. Ever since that sister got born again, she has been radiating the glory of God. Stop that nonsense. What glory? Make up. So when you are marrying somebody, it's one flesh. Open your eyes. Don't say, whatever I see in my spirit. What you see in the spirit is at the resurrection. Open your eyes. Amen? Okay. So let's know how to make air. She does air, you say, ah. Are you? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That is, they are obvious. And the rule, which will be yesterday, that is, they are seen. They are manifest. He calls them deeds of the flesh, which we said yesterday, deeds of the world. James 3:15. The wisdom that is from above, not from above, but is earthly, sensual. So the word flesh there is a sensual. That's where you have the word flesh. Then you have first John 2. We saw that yesterday, referring to the world. Can you remember that? So why Romans 8, Galatians 5, where they refer to the flesh is not the physical body they are referring to. So can we define the flesh, S-A-R-X, as without the spirit? Huh? Good. So Galatians 5:16. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill. I love that term fulfill. It's a nice terminology that's very explanatory. Walk in the spirit that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That means the loss of the flesh is a demand, an obligation. Where you have the word teleo, T-E-L-E-O. The word loss is the same word epithumia, that is uncontrollable word. So, it is not yet loss of the flesh till it's something I can't control. I can be tempted and it's not flesh. Can you remember that? Remember that? Good. So, it says, walk, which is the word peripatao, conduct yourself, and you will not fulfill, accomplish it. So that means it will start with a, do you want? Will you do? So when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill, that is, carry out the obligation. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Terrible, 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 terrible translation. And the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to another. It's a terrible translation. It is the lust of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. There's no lust of the Spirit. Epithuma is used for the flesh only. The word against, they are contrary, sorry to say, is the Greek word antikemai. A-N-T-I-K-E-I-M-A-I. A-N-T-I-K-E-I-M-A-I. It means an adversary. Something that is irreconcilable. That is, you can't find them in the same place. So that already shows you that the flesh is not in you. You can't find them in the flesh, in the born again man. Look at that terminology again, antikemai, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. And effectual an open door, but there are many adversaries. Philippians 1, 28. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. 2 Corinthians 2, 4. Much affliction, that word is adversary. Anguish of my heart. 1 Timothy 5:14. Giving occasion to the adversary to speak. Reproach you. So, when you see that word, it means an active opposition. An active opposition. So, the flesh opposes the Spirit. That is, the world and the Spirit. Just like we say, carnal, spiritual. That's what he's saying there. Galatians 5. So that you cannot do the things that you want. And if you be led of the Spirit as you are born again, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest. And he mentions them. He got to a point, he said, and such like, in verse 21. So it's a long list. As I told you in time past, and they which do such things, I've explained this before, to you before, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the fruit of the fact that a man is born again, this is the result of the new birth. I've told you in chapter 3, verse 2, receiving the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Verse 3, I've been begun in the Spirit. Chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 14, says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So when you read about the Spirit, you are referring to the new birth. So the new birth is contrary to the old man. It's contrary to the flesh. The same way Paul explained Romans 8 is what you have here. And Ephesians 2. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The same thing. So what we have in verse 19 to 21 can only happen by reason of temptation. What we have in verse 22 to 23 is a nature. So, what universal man produces is a living being, a living soul. All he does in procreation is a man is alive. What we can call, for the purpose of this teaching, is an innocent man who now makes his choices. What a man can produce is a free moral agent who now makes his choice of a spiritual nature. That's what a man can do in procreation. That is the limit of what a man can do. So a man, therefore, is responsible for his spiritual nature. But man can influence man. Through one man, sin entered into the world. That's why Adam will have two children. And one is called righteous. The other is called wicked. Who's following what I'm saying here? One is called righteous. The other one is called wicked. Look at the descriptions of Cain. Sorry, Abel. Matthew 23:35. From the blood of righteous Abel. Righteous Abel. The same thing in Luke 11:51. But look at Cain. Cain. 1 John 3:12. So did Abel become righteous by the reason of being born by Adam? No. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Wicked one. Jude 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. Now look at that, where he was called the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. Pay attention to something I want to show you shortly. So he said, he's of the wicked one. The wicked one. And then, we hear that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. We read that yesterday in verse 16, chapter 2. Now, what Cain has done is now typical of what John now says in verse 13, murder not my brethren if the world hates you. So he says, he's of the wicked one, pay attention. His works are evil, he is of the world. That's how he calls Cain. And 1 John 5:19, let's take it together. 1 John 5:19, let's go. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies. We are not of this world. Okay? The whole world lies in the wicked one. What is in the world? The lust of the flesh, which is what? The lust of the eyes, which is what? The boasting of life. So it says, Cain is of that wicked one, or of the world. Now, so, was Adam responsible for Cain? Only to a point of influence. Through one man, sin entered into the activities. So through him we found a tupos. But did Cain have a choice? Okay, because if Abel did, then Cain did. Are you there? So notice again that when we say flesh, I said always look at the flesh from a perspective of the physical body. Now look at this. Romans 4:1. Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh. But again, the same Paul will say, Abraham is not a father of somebody who has not believed. So he relates to two things. Abraham's physical descent and his spiritual descent. So in one instance, you have no choice. You were born physically. But that is not your spiritual nature. It is either faith or unbelief that shows or depicts your spiritual nature. Which one is what I'm saying here? So you must always make that distinction. So the flesh, therefore, in this instance, will be man-made. Both spiritual flesh and physical flesh, they are what? The spiritual nature called the flesh is man-made. So from Eden, which we are going to look at shortly, okay, tomorrow we'll examine a bit. From Eden, after that, you see that there is what was present in Cain and Abel, which is obvious, is rebellion and faith. Faith and rebellion. Never imagine, this is important, you should know, I thought it is so great salvation. I learned Genesis. Do not think God made a perfect man, or in the sense of a man that won't make any errors. I've corrected that. That's an idea that is wrong. That's an idea that is wrong. What God expected of man was faith, not sinlessness. This is very tough for some people, but it has to be said. Faith. And that's why we saw from the Garden of Eden, there was already imperfection. Said, it is not good. It is not good. He said that. That was the only thing he said is not good. We shall give him a helpmeet, which is not a woman. We've done that study here. A woman cannot be a helpmeet, because when you say helpmeet, is the word azar, it means to deliver from what harm and destruction. I don't know anybody who has married a woman and said, you know what? I'm in trouble. That's why I'm marrying you. And you now kneel down and bring her your earring. She say, eh? What trouble? Tell me. Tell me now. If I'm going to spend the rest of my life together, you should tell me. I can't tell you. You say yes first. It's not yes. I say yes, oh yes. So, imperfection. So what happened in, what we go after in Genesis 3 is actually condemnation. It's condemnation that Moses was particular about. And so, show the knowledge of good and evil, which is actually what we can call condemnation. It's at that point that you will call Adam unbelief. Adam's unbelief. We'll look at that a bit tomorrow. So, we have faith or rebellion. So, it is key and clear that God is near to be found. And I'll just close here. Paul intelligently said this in Acts 17. So, universal man has the capacity to decide, correct? Acts 17. I need to run now. 25. Of course, don't forget that they were worshipping the unknown God. But let's just focus on the major things. Neither, in 25, is worship with men's hands. Okay? As though he needs anything. Seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things. Pay attention. The word as though he needs anything is the word prosdeomai. This is very destructive to the prosperity gospel. P-R-O-S-D-E-O-M-E. It says he gives. He gives to all. Pay attention here. And had made of one blood of nations of the earth, of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed. Wow. Paul is very intelligent. The word here is a word for boundaries. I'll spell it for you. Orophysia. H-O-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-A. H-O-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-A. You have two words. One is oros. Oros is for territories. And titeme. That is, he has placed a limit on the human spirit. That is, in creation, there is no reason to be an idol worshiper. And that is why they said unknown. They knew that whatever they put together in that temple was not God. And I say to you that that is a fact in every idol worshiper. Who's following what I'm saying here? Paul says it is so because God has placed a limit. What's that limit? That limit is that they should seek the Lord. So you can see how every human being was born. That they should seek the Lord. Watch this. And if aptly they might feel after him and find him. The word feel after there is the word selaphao. P-S-E-L-A-P-H-A-O. Seek. It means to touch. Luke 24:59. So, I'm not one of those who is asking whether anybody has not heard the gospel. I think it is mere curiosity. Paul is answering a major question here. He says, look, God has set it in everybody to seek him. Do you trust God's word? I do. He said he has set it in everyone to seek him. To seek after that word, selaphao, was used in Luke 24:39 to touch something you can touch. Hebrews 12:18, same thing. The mountain that cannot be touched, that one cannot be touched. 1 John 1:1, we have handled the word of life. He says, watch this one, to touch. He now says, feel after him and find him. Wow. That is to discover him. Heurisko is the word, to discover. H-E-U-R-I-S-K-O. Watch this. To discover him, go! He be not far from every one of us. The word far is the word mikran. That is, there is no distance. There is no distance. So, we can locate rebellion now. There is no distance. There is no distance from every one of us. So, he said that universal man, say, God has made one blood. That is, every man is like this. Are you following this? One blood. Everybody is like this. That in universal man is a supernatural working of God to find him. He said, and it's not that you begin to find him. He said, it be not far from everyone. So, wherein now lies disobedience? We shall see. So that's why I'm not one of those who is buzzing his head. I have God's word to know that God has placed a limit. That limit is not don't go. It's actually come after. A universal man. And you know, we said that there cannot be sin without knowledge. And there cannot be. It can't be. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 1. You can't have excuses. So what we are going to see will be an independence. Quickly look at this, and then we. Then he now put it at them. Therefore, you guys say, in him we live, move, and have our being. As some of your own prophets have also said. For we are also his offspring. That this is what you have said. For as much then that you are the offspring of God, using what they have said, we ought not to think that the goddess is like unto gold or silver or stone, craven heart or man's device. That you know enough as universal man to know this. Who's following this? Are you following this? Please do. The times of the ignorance as God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to change out their thinking. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained. He had given assurance unto all in that he has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. We'll continue tomorrow morning.